see if this microphone works today.
We will see if this microphone works today. Thank you for your music ministry. That was lovely. Thank you. About 15 years ago, I sat in the pews of my congregation, and my minister started doing this sermon about needing to find one's call to ministry. And I must admit that when he started talking about finding one's call to ministry, I kind of secretly looked around the room, trying to discover who he might be talking to. I mean, was I missing something? We're not out of the woods yet. So I looked around the room trying to figure out who he might be talking to, because I thought ministry was something left for religious professionals. But the call to and the work of ministry was for religious professionals, and was not in my domain as a layperson to have a ministry of my own. But I didn't realize it until that sermon that maybe I did have a ministry of my own as a layperson. We all have a ministry to fulfill, all of us. This is a shared pulpit. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. You allow me to use it. You all participate in the shared ministry of this congregation, regardless of what you do. You might be a religious educator. You might be downstairs. You might lead adult enrichment classes. You might lead or participate in care circles or the family ministry of this congregation, or represent this congregation outside the walls of this church as an advocate of social justice. All those things, that's ministry. That's ministry. If I'm called to be your minister, if we decide to go steady, I see myself as having four goals of ministry, really categories, because they all have sub-goals that I'm not going to go into today. But let's just call them four goals of ministry, and I'd like to review them. The first goal is simply to be your minister. To be your minister. We all experience crisis as individuals or as a congregation. And the minister needs to address that, recognize that, be present with it, provide options for spiritual growth, provide options for healing. But my responsibility is not just to the members of the congregation. My responsibility is to anyone who walks through these doors, the visitors, the people who don't even know what Unitarian Universalism is, but who show up on Sunday morning. My responsibility is to them as well. Many people come to church with their children, to give their children some kind of basis of religious education. But why would an individual without children, say, who hasn't been to church in a long time, why would they come to a church? I mean, they could sleep in. They could be drinking coffee, reading the New York Times, and watching the Sunday morning news shows. I like that. So why do they come? Well, many people experience crisis, or they feel disconnected from life, or from love, or from meaning. I mean, what's this all about anyway? What am I supposed to be doing anyway? I know that when I first walked through the doors of a Unitarian Universalist congregation, what was to become my home, I was in crisis. I was overwhelmed at work, and there was no way out. I was like trapped in this job where I couldn't get any help, and it was just oppressive to me. And I looked for a way out, or I looked for something. And I went to a Unitarian Universalist congregation. But I was a Catholic. I was raised Catholic. but I went through the doors of a U church, yet I didn't know what UUism was, nor did I care. Nor did I care. So for those non-UUs and visitors who walk through the doors of our congregation for the first time, it's my responsibility as minister to minister to them in any way that I know how. And sometimes I have to use a language that they can understand. I have to throw them a lifeline of sorts using something that they can recognize and grab onto. Because they don't know all this UU stuff, right? So at times, I will use a language of reverence. I will use that. I will use words like God. I will use Allah, Jehovah, Jesus, Spirit of Life, Gaia, whatever. Whatever I can use to connect to somebody who's sitting out there suffering in silence and in solitude. Now, I label myself as a religious humanist, okay? An agnostic religious humanist. So please trust me with this. I'm not trying to convert people. I am trying to reach people, okay? As it says on my website, if I say a word that doesn't resonate with you, it's because it's not for you. It's for the person sitting next to you who might desperately need to hear that word. So let's allow them to have that as a gift. As a gift. We can do that. The second goal of our shared ministry has to do with running the day-to-day operations of this place. This is the mundane nuts and bolts of congregational life. Yes, it involves meetings. It involves meetings, long meetings. But it involves other things as well. Because actually, this realm of ministry provided me with my number one most unforgettable UU moment. It was back in 1995. I'm teaching, for the first time, I'm teaching an unruly band of third and fourth graders in RE, and there was a lot of them. And I'm teaching this course on Bible stories, so I'm teaching Noah and the Flood. And all the kids are working on this art project, all of them except this one kid named Nick. As I'm telling the story, he is just looking at me, transfixed. He's not blinking. He's not breathing. He's looking at me as I tell this story. You know, the 40 days and the 40 nights and the 2x2 and the flood and the dove and all that. And then his head turns like a puppy. And he's still looking at me like I'm totally reaching this kid. I'm totally getting to this kid. And I'm telling the story, all animated. And then, you know, his jaw drops and his mouth opens. And I have to stop and say, Nick, is there something you need to tell me? And everybody stops working on the art project and they look. And Nick says, your ears are so big. I dropped to my knees. Tears of laughter rolling down my face. It was unforgettable moment. What a gift to have that. So this mundane congregational life can bring some surprises, and I guarantee you that it will. The third goal of our shared ministry has to do with our mission outside the walls of this congregation. What's the role of human in our local community and in the greater Metro Atlanta community and in the world? Outside of the people in this room, and maybe the other members and friends who aren't present with us today, would anyone notice if we cease to exist? Would anyone notice if we cease to exist? And what does our answer say about us? And what is it about our Unitarian Universalist faith and about our membership and human that compels us to act in the world? You know, you may have found human as a sanctuary, as a refuge of sorts, in a very conservative, somewhat crazy and absurd world. And that's, I get that, and that's good. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you found us. But we have many beautiful children downstairs and over there in that building who will inherit the world that we give them. And actually, in a way, I like to think about it in reverse. Maybe you've heard the Native American saying, we do not inherit the world from our ancestors. We are borrowing it from our children and grandchildren. We are borrowing it from our children and grandchildren. So are we paying anything forward for them? Again, and what does our answer say about us? The fourth goal of ministry I get from the business world. Yeah, business has some great things to offer. The fourth goal has to do with the survival of human and Unitarian Universalists as institutions. Unitarian Universalism as institutions, as going concerns. I was so grateful that I was able to, that there was a UU congregation that I could go to and raise my four children in. It didn't have to be there. Somebody started that and nurtured that institution. And I made it a point of thanking the founder and the matriarch of our congregation every time I saw her. Her name was Gloria. And I would say, Gloria, thank you for starting this congregation. And then the next week I'd say, Gloria, thank you for starting this congregation. And then the next week, Gloria, thank you for starting this congregation. And I'd always say that until she finally came up to me and said, Dave, can you stop doing that? Because it's kind of freaking me out. But I still say it silently. I still say it silently. But similar to a business institution, how can we be a going concern moving forward? What new products are we offering? How are we adapting to the future? How are we managing risk? And make no mistake, this endeavor involves risk. How are we managing change and growth? Because in the business world, if we're not changing and we're not growing, we face liquidation and irrelevance. We do. We make typewriters here. That's what we do. We make 8-track tapes. That's what we do. Well, the kids here don't know what typewriters or 8-track tapes are. You see, not growing, and I'm not necessarily talking about growth in numbers. I'm talking about growth in any way. But not growing and not changing, irrelevance and liquidation, those are simply things that I cannot support. I cannot support that. Those are things that I cannot ethically and morally do to the children, the youth and young adults from whom we are merely borrowing this congregation. You just celebrated your 25th anniversary, and you should be proud of that. That's wonderful. I didn't know about that. And that's fine, but we need to continue to do long-term, long-range planning for 5, 10, 15 years. We need to develop new leaders now who can carry the torch into the future. So that 25 years from now, you can be celebrating your 50th. Some of us might not be here. I hope I'm here, but maybe not here 25 years from now. But we need to do that. So personally, when I reflect upon these four aspects of ministry, how do I feel about it? I mean, seriously, I'm a bit terrified. I am. It's a lot to do, and actually more for any minister to do by him or herself. And although I kind of have to be accountable for all those things, I can't do it myself. I need you to do your part. I need you to do what you're called to do. You don't have to do all four aspects, maybe just one or two. And if we can all do that, then we can cover all these bases that I'm talking about and be a healthy congregation moving forward into the future. Dovetailing upon what Brian said in his reflection, one of my principal overarching aims as a minister is to empower people to lead lives that they can't even imagine imagining. Empower people to lead lives that they can't even imagine imagining. Now that might sound idealistic. It might. But 15 years ago, when I heard that sermon by my minister, not in a million years could I have imagined that I would be here, 700 miles from home, in this spot, on this day, in front of you lovely people. I really could never have imagined that. It can happen. It's real. As theologian and writer Frederick Buechner writes, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. The place God calls you to is where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. And as your minister and in my ministry, if I can help you and human find that place, and even if I don't add one single member to the membership roles, I will consider my ministry successful if I can help you find that place that God calls you to. And I so very much want that for you. I so very much want you to find that place. Because you, when you find that place, you just might find what's been missing in your life. And when you find that place, maybe all that existential angst that you might feel, what am I supposed to be doing here? What's this all about? Maybe when you find that place, all that will just drop out of the equation and become a thing of the past. We need to walk together in this shared ministry. That we need to walk together. And you need to wrap your mind around the idea that you are a minister for this congregation. That you have something to offer. That your voice yearns to be heard. That you are desperately needed. And this congregation would simply not be the same without you. We borrow this beloved congregation from our children and grandchildren, from those who are not yet here, from those who do not yet know the good news of Unitarian Universalism, from those who don't yet know what they're missing. Yet we here have this radical opportunity to pay it forward to them. To help our ministries find them so that our work can finally begin to create a sustainable world. And with this, we will now take the offering.
A special meeting of the congregation will follow worship today for the purpose of voting on whether to call Dave Dunn as Human's fourth settled minister. Immediately after the service, Board Secretary Donna Guile will be setting up right over there by the doors to the atrium. If you are a member of the congregation, please be sure to check in with Donna and be seated back in your seats before noon for this very important meeting. Many of our members are hoping to get quickly onto their day, and many are looking to celebrate Mother's Day in a timely manner. So your cooperation at being in your seats, already signed in with Donna, ready to start the congregational meeting before noon, will be greatly appreciated. Child care is available. To those folks who are new to our community, again, we are so glad you've spent your Sunday morning with us. Please join us briefly next door in Fellowship Hall. We're going to run in, grab coffee, and say hi, and hopefully some of our longtime friends will be there to talk with you and learn a bit about your stories and share some of ours. Please do come back and be with us again next week when things will be a lot more normal around here. Due to the special meeting today after worship, there's no plan for lunch ministry. Now please rise in body or spirit as you are willing and able to sing our closing hymn, number 1028 in the teal hymnal, The Fire of Commitment.
Call you on your way. May your ministry meet the world's deep hunger, and in so doing, may you find yourself fed as never before in ways you could never imagine imagining. Enjoy your week.
Please join me in reciting our chalice's extinguishing words, which you can find in your order of worship.
We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth. The Lord of the community.